Well, it is good to be here. We already turned to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, or chapter number 2. All right, let's begin reading in verse number 1. We'll read down through verse number 5. I got to get there myself, so give me a few seconds here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 5. It says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet he is not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Again, let's have a word of prayer as I pray outwardly. I ask you to pray a silent prayer and just ask God to begin to work in your heart and life. Lord, we're grateful that we're able to be back here this morning. I know some have had a hard week with work, and Lord, I pray that this weekend that you would give them the rest that they need to have. Lord, I know some have some certain sicknesses that are going around in their families. God, I pray that you just bring healing to them, and we ask you these things in your name. Amen. I heard a little young one kind of say something back there. It's good to see her here. Looking all beautiful back there, talking about Emma Lynn and Dina as well. So, did I say her name right?
Emma.
Okay, I didn't say it right. Okay. All right, let's begin going here. The title of this message this morning is Be Strong. Be Strong. Really, it's a fitting title for this day and age because we are dealing with a woke generation. We're dealing with a very sensitive generation. You say something wrong, they get all offended and they go back home and crawl into the basements where they're at, and then you're in the wrong, right? That's what it's really come down to these day and age, but it's really kind of fitting. We left off last week with Paul being thankful for one man who had refreshed him. He also made mention of two men who I call them negative Nancys or Debbie Downers. Now, if your name's Nancy here this morning, please don't be offended, Nancy. That's just a saying. Why were these men mentioned? I believe because it was a warning to Timothy. Remember, Paul was spending a majority of his time with Timothy to be an encouragement to him. We got to understand those things. In a ministry, you need to be encouraged. In the pew, you need to be encouraged, right? No matter where you're at, you need to be encouraged. So I believe it was a warning to Timothy not to become like the men who were downers. It's easy for us to be around people who speak negatively about other people and then fall into that same category. We're all guilty of those things. And so Paul, in a sense, did not want Timothy to become like those two other men. And I'm saying those two other men because I can't pronounce their names. But he wanted him to be like the other one that we left off with. And that was a man who was encouraging him, who stood by his side during difficult times, that Paul considered him to be a man who refreshed him. And so Timothy here is being warned, and in the same sense, he's being encouraged as well. Also, it is very important to surround yourself with like-minded people. It's important to surround yourself with like-minded people. There's no sense in involving yourself with people who are constantly going to throw daggers at you and basically disagree with you all the time. Why is that a reason? Why should we not want to be like around people like that? Well, because we're going to fall into that same category. We do it. Think about it. When we get together at our family gatherings or family reunions and things like that, all of a sudden you got someone in the corner just being so negative, and you're talking to them. All of a sudden you just fall into that category, and we don't want to surround yourself with stuff like that. So we all need to evaluate on how we come across to people. Not every one of us has a way of coming across people properly. There are some things that I'm going to share with you just a little bit that my wife is able to do with me. She says this. She says, Chad, she goes, I know you, and I know what you mean, but some people don't know you, and they don't know what you mean. So here's what you need to do. You know what she's doing? Well, she's encouraging me, and she's being a helpmate to be that better person so that I can come across the way that I need to come across. So we don't always come across to people the way that we should. We're not always encouraging, but sometimes here's what takes place. Instead of being encouraging, we become a discouragement. And that's the last thing that we want to do is be a discouragement to somebody. Paul was being a great encouragement to Timothy, and Timothy had a lot to be grateful for. We've had the last couple years in our church to be able to, because of COVID, switch over to a satellite so people who aren't able to come can sit at home and begin to watch their services. Now, I know some of the folks that are at home this morning that are sick, they're watching our services. But with that being said, a lot of you folks don't know what goes on behind the scenes. In the last couple weeks, I've had some phone calls from people who actually watch our services and don't attend here. And here's what takes place. And it's been encouraging to me because here's what takes place. I get a phone call or I get a text of people being appreciative of the Word of God being preached. And man, when I get those phone calls, sometimes I sit, oh, great, what's going to happen? Am I going to be yelled at? But no, it hasn't been that way. It's been encouraging. And that's what we need to be to people, be an encouragement to people while we're here on this earth. Paul's mission here with Timothy was to be an encouragement to him. He first started off back in chapter number 1 of how much he loved Timothy. We read of his great love. Verse number 2 of chapter number 1 says, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus the Lord. I thank God whom I serve for my forefathers with pure conscience that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God. These scriptures that we just read here, you're reading about a man who obviously was older than Timothy. He considered Timothy a son. And in this letter, he is expressing his love towards Timothy. He was also expressing on how he missed him terribly. And I tell you what, that's a great love to have towards someone else. He desired to be around him. We all have folks that we desire to be around with, don't we? We desire, those of us who are married, please say amen on this, or otherwise we're all going to be in trouble. We desire to be around our spouse when they come back home from work. Amen. We do. We desire to be around them. That's just how we're created. But he also ended the last chapter to Timothy by telling him to hold to sound words. And we dealt with that last week. He starts off in chapter 2 here by telling Timothy to be strong. And it's important for Timothy to be strong, not just physically, but we're talking about spiritually as well. Because Timothy is going to face some challenges in his life as being a minister for God. There's going to come to discouraging times. There's going to come some uncertain circumstances that he's going to have to deal with in the church as you have people that are around you that you're pastoring. You might have to perform a funeral. You might have to perform a wedding and things of that nature. And you're going to have to be strong in those things. And that's what we should do. I had someone give me a call yesterday, speaking of marriage. Had someone give me a call yesterday. They don't even attend this church. And I wasn't able to talk to them, but I gave them a call back, and I said, this is Chad Springer. How can I help you? He says, yeah, we're looking for somebody to marry us. And I said, okay. He goes, yeah, my bride just came back from overseas, and we need to get married within the first 90 days. And I'm like, how did you get my number? He goes, oh, from this church down the street from this place. I'm like, Thank you very much. Thinking to myself. But here's what I asked. I asked this question, and I wasn't condemning him. I wasn't out to embarrass him or demean him in any way. I said, I got a question for you. I said, are you living together? He goes, well, yeah, now. We have a two-bedroom apartment. I said, but you're living together. He goes, yes. I said, I can't do it. Nothing against you. Nothing against your bride. But going by God's word, this is what I'm going to have to do. And it takes, folks, it takes strength to be able to do those things. I'll be honest, I was nervous doing those things. But you have to take a stand. And so we had a great conversation. Part of this conversation, this is funny. He goes, yeah, if you perform our wedding and if we go to your church and we like it, we might attend. I was just like, okay, thank you for that one. Folks are funny. But Timothy here is being told by Paul that to be strong. There are three things that Timothy needed to be strong in. We'll give these. First, he needed to be strong mentally. You needed to be strong mentally. You got to keep your mind sharp. You got to keep your mind focused. That's one thing I really, what older people, the elder, they inspire me because of how sharp their mind is, how focused they are. You can get to a certain age and you can say, okay, this really isn't worth it, and then you just let your mind go to waste. No, you got to keep your mind focused. That's what keeps you going, isn't it? That's what keeps you, your wits about you. So he needed to be strong mentally. Every man and every woman will be tested mentally, especially those in places of leadership. Well, Chad, you just said women, places of leadership? Yeah, there's women around this country that are in places of leadership. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. I'm not against women being in places of leadership. The only thing that I'm against, according to God's word, is a woman standing behind a pulpit preaching and teaching to men. That's the only thing I'm against because that's what the word of God says. And I don't feel any less when there is a woman over me telling me what to do when it comes to a job that I've applied for and that's the position I'm in. So men and women, they're in places of leadership, and they need to be strong mentally. Although the first one isn't mentioned in the word, it is a priority for those who will be tested to remain mentally strong. Paul here, he uses the word soldier. Let me see what verse is it in. Verse number 3, thank you, says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You look at the word soldier here that Paul uses, and when you think of this word, we automatically think of being prepared for war. You know, when you're preparing yourself for war, and I have never been in a situation, never. I've never joined the military. I've never went through basic training, so I have no idea what these men went through. We do have men that have gone through that in our church. We have the legit son, who Austin, who went into the military, so he knows of these things. But you have to have your mind mentally sharp. And so when you prepare for war, and we need to remember this, folks, we are in a warfare. And I'm not talking about a physical war, although it could be at times. It is a spiritual war. And so when it comes to that spiritual warfare, your mind has to be sharp. When being tested the way Paul was, and Paul, knowing Timothy, was going to face the same type of battles that Paul has faced in his life. Well, what did he face? Well, you go back to chapter number 1, what did Timothy invite what did Paul invite Timothy to do? Paul invited Timothy to share in his miseries, so to say. It wasn't the word that was used. But when you're being locked up and when you're being chased by the officials of the towns that you go into, and when they're seeking to kill you and put harm to you, that's being tested. And you got to have your wits about you. And Paul went through those things, and now he's telling Timothy, hey, Timothy, you're going to face the same things I face, buddy. And you got to be mentally strong. You can't be weak in these areas. You got to constantly be sharpening your mind. And so Paul knew he was going to face those battles because he faced them. And so with that being said, he wanted him to be strong mentally as well. It's important to keep your wits end about you when being tested, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically as well. Mentally, because here's what happens. Because Satan will use doubt to get you to second guess what God has planned for you. He will throw that seed of doubt into you. And when that seed of doubt gets into you, then you begin to question everything. And then eventually sometimes what happens is when that doubt's there and you allow it to creep in and you're not sharpening your wits mentally, you're not focusing on the Word of God, what happens? Well, we can walk away. It's very easy to walk away. It's hard to stay. Easy to walk away. So Paul wanted him to not allow Satan to plant that seed of doubt in him so that he wouldn't second guess God. Here's what happens. If he can distract your mind, and let's be honest, our minds get distracted easily. It doesn't take much for us to get distracted. And sometimes we look for things to distract us, do we not? I'm not going to pick on Teresa, but she gave a great example years ago. Being under conviction, just to get away from listening to God's word, she would watch the fans rotate. She would use that as a distraction. She would also use people getting up in the middle of the service, walking back and forth to take her mind off of those things. See, it's easy for us to be distracted. And Paul didn't want Timothy to be distracted. But Satan wants to distract your mind. And once he distracts your mind, the seed of doubt is planted. It is likely the soldier that has prepared for battle, when he is distracted, will quit. He'll give up. He'll walk away from his group that he's with. Is no longer mentally sharp. He's allowed that fear of doubt to be set in, and then he goes away. We call those AWOL soldiers. You know, with that being said, we have some AWOL Christians. They've walked away because of distractions. Their mind wasn't being sharpened mentally. It wasn't being sharpened spiritually either. And so now they're off somewhere else. The second type of strength that we need is this. We need to be strong physically. Let me explain this. It takes great endurance to carry out the gospel of Jesus. What do we need endurance for? Well, the road gets tough. It's hard at times. Yesterday, our group met yesterday to go out and do some visiting. And, soul winning. Now that word's in my mind, every time I think of visiting, I'm thinking of going to a funeral home. Thank you, Carrie. they went out soul winning yesterday, and they covered a great area. And there's sometimes in a ministry, it's going to require you to be in physical shape. And so you need endurance to carry out the gospel. It's very fatiguing at times, especially the older we get. The older we get, the less energy that we have. The more difficult it is to even get out of bed. Who had difficulty getting out of bed this morning? Folks, I'm usually up at the crack of dawn without an alarm. I don't even set an alarm anymore. I was up at 5:30 yesterday morning. I don't know why. I just couldn't sleep. I had one of those old people moments come in where I had to go to the restroom. And so I just stayed up. But this morning, I was out of it. My phone usually is right by it's on the headboard, right by my ears. And I got an email this morning about 8 o'clock. If it wasn't for that email, you know where I'd be at right now? I would be sleeping. Exactly. I was out of it. I was so out of it. When I saw what time it was, I got up and I started stumbling. I was like this, because I just couldn't get my wits end about me. But anyway, we need physical strength to carry out the gospel. We need rest. Our bodies need rest. Tom was telling me this a little while ago, the time that he goes to bed. They go to bed at that time, and I'm not going to tell you the time, but they go to bed at that time. Why? Because they know that they need rest. And if they don't get there at that time, then they're going to be very fatigued the next day. Part of being physically strong is getting the rest that you need. Where can we find great rest at? Exactly, in the Lord. When we find rest in the Lord, matter of fact, when you go to the book of Hebrews, it talks about resting in the Lord. When we rest in the Lord, guess who's going to give us that physical strength that we need to stay mentally strong? It's going to be the Lord. So be strong physically. Third, we need to be strong spiritually. Being and staying in tune with God. That's hard to do, isn't it? It's like the song that we sing, Trust and Obey. We sing that quite often here, and it's a great song for us to sing, but it's the most difficult thing to do. How often, and be honest with ourselves, do we really trust God, and do we really obey God? The answer is no, we don't trust God the way that we should, and no, we don't obey God the way that we should. We're all guilty of these things. And that's not putting anybody down. That's just being realistic. So third, we need to be spiritually strong for this, to be in tune with God. You know how marriages make it? For this statement. Because the spouses are in tune with each other. That's why. In order for our relationship to grow with God, we got to be in tune with Him. Now, the arguments, the intense fellowships take place when a husband and a wife decide not to be in tune with each other. And every argument can be solved very quickly. And it's not just saying, I'm sorry, and moving on. It's not like that. It's being in tune. And if we can get that in our marriages, man, we can overcome so many obstacles. So being strong, being in tune with God, this can be accomplished by how? By reading and by the meditation of Scripture. Being strong in the grace of God means we trust, means we must continue to work hard for a faithful God. The work ethic of many people today isn't what it used to be 5 to 10 years ago. It's not. We can all go to our jobs and find out how little people really work. And Danny, you can probably find this to be true even in your occupation of a farmer. Farmers don't farm as probably as hard as you do. Neil, you can say the same thing. You probably, because I know you farmers well, you can probably sit there and say the same thing. They're not going to make it because they're not going to put in the hard work. People don't have the work ethic like it used to be. With that being said, people in the house of God doesn't have the work ethic as well to give the gospel to this world. It's gone downhill. Go back into the 50s and 60s and even in the 70s, you would see churches thriving. You would see people out on the streets trying to get people to come to church, but that work ethic has gone down. So being strong in the grace of God means we must continue to work hard for a faithful God. God didn't call us to be lazy. Well, Chad, I can't do some of those things. I don't think I stress this enough. If you can't do some things physically, which I understand, my body's gotten older too, folks. There's some things that I can't do either that I used to be able to do. But Chad, you're not even 50 yet. Let me tell you what I can't do. I had to sit there and think about, I'm not kidding you, 3 weeks ago, I had to sit there and think about and go through my mind the process of trying to do this. I forgot how to run. I kid you not, I played basketball for years. And I just recently stopped here 3 or 4 years ago. And I I'm thinking to myself, how do I do this? Like I had lead feet. But I understand you lose some strength in the areas, but here's something that we all can do that should be an encouragement. We can all pray. We can all pray. We can all pray at our homes, or we can come here and do it. But man, I tell you what, that is one of the greatest things that you can do into the ministry. And by the way, I know people do this at home. How do I know this? Because I've heard of the results as we go out into this town, the great responses that we get from people. Kurt had somebody yesterday as he's knocking on the door, hardcore Catholic. He says, I'm Catholic. And Kurt says, okay, and he kind of left it alone and began to turn around and walk away. Here's what the guy did. He reached down and grabbed a tract from Kurt and took it into his house. Do you think Kurt turned around and said, you're Catholic, give that tract back to me? No, he was excited. How does something like that take place? Because of people praying. So I want to encourage you to do those things. Now, mentally today, for many working people today, is this: do as little as possible and collect a check. It's true, some young people have no idea of what hard work actually is. They believe that they should be catered to. Rachel's sitting here this morning. I've known her since she's a young girl. And you're still young. She owns her own business. She's not being catered to. She's got to cater to people. That's good work ethic. If she expected people to cater to her, her business wouldn't survive. So her business is, okay, you want your hair done at 8 o'clock at night? Okay. If that's me, please say no. That's late. But the work ethic has gone down. If you're with me this morning, please say amen. So what has happened? Those who actually do the work will have to work harder to get the job done, which is why we are constantly recruiting to make the job easier. All the while, the new hire will go out of their way to do as little as possible. That's our work ethic today. Paul here is still encouraging Timothy because he knew it would take strength to fulfill the call of God on his life. There are many discouragements that come along in any ministry. And when that happens, quitting sounds better rather than to continue on. I talk to a good group of preachers now. And as I talk to them, you know what I hear on almost every Monday, sometimes Tuesdays? I just want to quit. You know what I have to do? I have to be a Paul in this situation and encourage so that they keep going on. Why? Because we need good, sound men in pulpits. It's easy to quit. It truly is. But it takes strength to continue on. So there's many discouragements that come along. Paul knew Timothy. We can't forget that Timothy was naturally timid. Go back to chapter number 1, we'll see those things. He was at times a nervous and possibly scared individual. It's quite intimidating, I'm going to be honest with you, it's quite intimidating to preach and teach to those who are older and to those who have more knowledge and wisdom. You have no idea what went through my mind as our pastor sat up here every week. It's intimidating. And you come to a place, oh man, I don't really know nothing compared to what he knows. Why am I even doing this? And when that thought process kicks in, you're like, well, there's no point in this. I'm just going to walk away. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are many times that ran through my mind. But the great thing about my father was he never discouraged me. He always encouraged me. And he knew me as a son. He knew how I felt. He can tell by my reaction on some things. And I appreciate his encouragement. I also appreciate towards the end of his life, hey, come here. Let me tell you something. And I was like, what, Godfather? Because that's what always came to my mind when I heard his voice like that. But anyway, I'll just continue to go on. Some good advice for us all to follow. Just because you are older and maybe more knowledgeable in some areas doesn't mean that you are more qualified. instead of boasting in yourself and being so impressed with yourself, get off your high horse and go and be a help and be an encouragement. That's what we need to do. But our ego, our pride overtakes our ability to be able to think for the other individual. And we begin to boast and become so proud of ourselves and what we've accomplished and the knowledge that we've learned. And we don't become an encouragement to those who need it. Instead, we become a discouragement. We need to be encouragement to folks. Paul is wanting Timothy to be strong in God's grace. His grace is an unmerited gift of assistance that comes from God. Paul knew of the grace of God, and he talks about that in 2 Corinthians. Go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm excited in the next hour, and I hope you will be too. Because I know there's some great difficulty for some people to turn to these things rather quickly. But during the next hour, I'm going to have basically a PowerPoint up here for the verses for you to turn to. And you can just read right along with those things. But chapter number 12 of 2 Corinthians verses 9 through 10 says this. I was just there, folks, and I just turned my Bible back to 2 Timothy. Here we go. 9 through 10, it reads this. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How was Paul able to finish this verse? Because of the grace that God gives him to get through every situation. We all need those things. That really hit home with me a couple of years ago when I heard somebody say this in a prayer meeting. I've never heard it like this before. And it was your wife, Charlie. She said this, Lord, please give us the grace to get through. That's exactly what Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. God gave Paul the grace to get through. God's grace does a few things for us. We're closing here shortly. Gives us confidence. And it's one of the biggest things that I struggle with today is confidence. With a lack of confidence comes doubt. And Satan uses that again for a distraction, especially when it comes to the preaching of God's word. We shouldn't have confidence in man. Why? Because man will fail us. Man fails us every single time. Our confidence should be in God. Instead, we need to trust in the Lord, and here are some wise words from David back in Psalms chapter 118. Go ahead and turn there. Psalms 118, verse number 8 says this. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put what? Confidence in man. But that's what we do. Every 4 years, what do? We try to put confidence in a man to lead us out of a situation into something better. Well, what happens? Man fails us every 4 years. Where does our confidence need to be? It needs to be in God. By the way, let me say this. God sets up leaders and God removes leaders. It's in Scripture. Well, some might say, well, Trump was one of the better presidents. Okay, God put him in. God removed him. God gave us a leader in our country that we deserve. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We might not agree with him, but for some reason, God says, this is the guy you deserve. And so we have him. But our confidence should be in the Lord. Second, God's grace will give us boldness. Paul wasn't bold by himself. He was not bold by himself, but his boldness came from the Lord. Many of us are like Timothy. We're scared and we're timid. Those of you who went out yesterday, and be honest, who was scared and who was timid to knock on doors. Got some honest ones. It's scary. That's when I begin to fumble over my words quite a bit. I'll knock on a door and I'm like, bleh, 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 bleh. I can't get nothing out because it's intimidating. I know some of you might laugh at that, but it truly is. So how do we overcome that? By getting boldness from the Lord. But even though we are scared and timid at times, we still need to continue to be strong in the Lord and to continue to press forward. Amen? Paul wanted Timothy to also commit to faithful men, as we read here in 2 Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to pour into other men as well who were faithful to God. I'm going to say this. A pastor cannot pour himself into individuals when they are not faithful. You can't take offense to that. Because it is. It's hard to pour yourself into somebody when they're not faithful. Neil's owned his own business for years. Gary owns his own business as well. It's hard to invest into your employees, correct me if I'm wrong, if they're not going to be faithful to you. It's hard to pour yourself. It's hard to show them the knowledge that you have in that occupation when they're not going to be faithful. What do you mean? What normally happens, Gary, when a coworker of yours that you're hired is no longer faithful to your company? You didn't hear it, and he didn't really say it, but this is what he said. I'm making it easier. He fires him. I say this for a reason. It's hard to pour yourself. It's hard to invest yourself into folks who are not faithful. It's your choice not to get involved. God didn't save you to sit at home or to go hide somewhere. He saved you. The least that we can do is this. Get involved. Get involved. Timothy was a man who was naturally an introvert. It would have been more natural for him to stay at home, not worry about anything else, but just reveling in the fact that he was saved, he was going to go to heaven when he died. But Timothy, instead of putting confidence in man, he put his confidence in the Lord, he was faithful to God, he got involved, and he had a great ministry. We know that nothing lasts forever. And here's what I want to close with. We need to prepare the next generation to move forward after we are all gone. Dallas is sitting here this morning, my teenage teacher. He was my teacher in my teenage years. He helped mold me. He poured himself into me. Why? Because Dallas knew, and I know even now in my age, we are not going to last forever. And we got to encourage the next generation to go forth. If we don't do that, what's going to happen to the gospel? Well, the great thing is, Jesus will still be around. The gospel will continue to go forth. But I'm going to deal with this here in the next hour. We need laborers. We need laborers. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul's encouragement to Timothy to be strong, to endure the hardships that come his way. And Lord, I thank you for your people who are here this morning. And we ask it in your name. Amen. It's important to keep your wits end about you when being tested, whether it be spiritually, whether it be physically as well. Mentally, because here's what happens. Because Satan will use doubt to get you to second guess what God has planned for you. He will throw that seed of doubt into you. And when that seed of doubt gets into you, then you begin to question everything. And then eventually sometimes what happens is when that doubt's there and you allow it to creep in and you're not sharpening your wits mentally, you're not focusing on the Word of God, what happens? Well, we can walk away. It's very easy to walk away. It's hard to stay. Easy to walk away. So Paul wanted him to not allow Satan to plant that seed of doubt in him so that he wouldn't second-guess God. Here's what happens. If he can distract your mind, and let's be honest, our minds get distracted easily. It doesn't take much for us to get distracted. And sometimes we look for things to distract us, do we not? I'm not going to pick on Teresa, but she gave a great example. Years ago, being under conviction, just to get away from listening to God's word, she would watch the fans rotate. She would use that as a distraction. She would also use people getting up in the middle of the service, walking back and forth to take her mind off of those things. See, it's easy for us to be distracted. And Paul didn't want Timothy to be distracted. But Satan wants to distract your mind. And once he distracts your mind, the seed of doubt is planted. It is likely the soldier that has prepared for battle, when he is distracted, will quit. He'll give up. He'll walk away from his group that he's with. He's no longer mentally sharp. He's allowed that fear of doubt to be set in, and then he goes away. We call those AWOL soldiers. You know, with that being said, we have some AWOL Christians. They've walked away because of distractions. Their mind wasn't being sharpened mentally. It wasn't being sharpened spiritually either. And so now they're off somewhere else. The second type of strength that we need is this. We need to be strong physically. Let me explain this. It takes great endurance to carry out the gospel of Jesus. What do we need endurance for? Well, the road gets tough. It's hard at times. Yesterday, our group met yesterday to go out and do some visiting. Soul winning. Now that word's in my mind, every time I think of visiting, I'm thinking of going to a funeral home. Thank you, Carrie. They went out soul winning yesterday, and they covered a great area. And there's sometimes in a ministry, it's going to require you to be in physical shape. And so you need endurance to carry out the gospel. It's very fatiguing at times, especially the older we get. The older we get, the less energy that we have. The more difficult it is to even get out of bed. Who had difficulty getting out of bed this morning? Folks, I'm usually up at the crack of dawn without an alarm. I don't even set an alarm anymore. I was up at 5:30 yesterday morning. I don't know why. I just couldn't sleep. I had one of those old people moments come in where I had to go to the restroom. And so I just stayed up. But this morning, I was out of it. My phone usually is right by it's on the headboard, right by my ears. And I got a email this morning about 8 o'clock. If it wasn't for that email, you know where I'd be at right now? I would be sleeping. Exactly. I was out of it. I was so out of it. When I saw what time it was, I got up and I started stumbling. I was like this because I just couldn't get my wits in about me. But anyway, we need physical strength to carry out the gospel. We need rest. Our bodies need rest. Thomas told me this a little while ago, the time that he goes to bed. They go to bed at that time, and I'm not going to tell you the time, but they go to bed at that time. Why? Because they know that they need rest. And if they don't get there at that time, then they're going to be very fatigued the next day. Part of being physically strong is getting the rest that you need. Where can we find great rest at? Exactly, in the Lord. When we find rest in the Lord, matter of fact, when you go to the book of Hebrews, it talks about resting in the Lord. When we rest in the Lord, guess who's going to give us that physical strength that we need to stay mentally strong? It's going to be the Lord. So be strong physically. Third, we need to be strong spiritually. Being and staying in tune with God. That's hard to do, isn't it? It's like the song that we sing, Trust and Obey. We sing that quite often here. And it's a great song for us to sing, but it's the most difficult thing to do. how often, and be honest with ourselves, do we really trust God and do we really obey God? The answer is no, we don't trust God the way that we should, and no, we don't obey God the way that we should. We're all guilty of these things. And that's not putting anybody down. That's just being realistic. So third, we need to be spiritually strong for this, to be in tune with God. You know how marriages make it? For this statement. Because the spouses are in tune with each other. That's why. In order for our relationship to grow with God, we got to be in tune with Him. Now, the arguments, the intense fellowships take place when a husband and a wife decide not to be in tune with each other. And every argument can be solved very quickly. And it's not just saying, I'm sorry, and moving on. It's not like that. It's being in tune. And if we can get that in our marriages, man, we can overcome so many obstacles. So being strong, being in tune with God, this can be accomplished by how? By reading and by the meditation of Scripture. Being strong in the grace of God means we trust, means we must continue to work hard for a faithful God. The work ethic of many people today isn't what it used to be 5 to 10 years ago. It's not. We can all go to our jobs and find out how little people really work. And Danny, you can probably find this to be true even in your occupation of a farmer. Farmers don't farm as probably as hard as you do. Neil, you can say the same thing. You probably, because I know you farmers well, you can probably sit there and say the same thing. They're not going to make it because they're not going to put in the hard work. People don't have the work ethic like it used to be. With that being said, people in the house of God doesn't have the work ethic as well to give the gospel to this world. It's gone downhill. Go back into the 50s and 60s and even in the 70s, you would see churches thriving. You would see people out on the streets trying to get people to come to church, but that work ethic has gone down. So being strong in the grace of God means we must continue to work hard for a faithful God. God didn't call us to be lazy. Well, Chad, I can't do some of those things. I don't think I stress this enough. If you can't do some things physically, which I understand, my body's gotten older too, folks. There's some things that I can't do either that I used to be able to do. But Chad, you're not even 50 yet. Let me tell you what I can't do. I had to sit there and think about, I'm not kidding you, 3 weeks ago, I had to sit there and think about and go through my mind the process of trying to do this. I forgot how to run. I kid you not, I played basketball for years. And I just recently stopped here 3 or 4 years ago. And I'm thinking to myself, how do I do this? Like I had lead feet. But I understand you lose some strength in areas, but here's something that we all can do that should be an encouragement. We can all pray. We can all pray. We can all pray at our homes, or we can come here and do it. But man, I tell you what, that is one of the greatest things that you can do into the ministry. And by the way, I know people do this at home. How do I know this? Because I've heard of the results as we go out into this town, the great responses that we get from people. Kurt had somebody yesterday as he's knocking on the door, hardcore Catholic, and says, I'm Catholic. And Kurt says, okay, and he kind of left it alone and began to turn around and walk away. Here's what the guy did. He reached down and grabbed a tract from Kurt and took it into his house. Do you think Kurt turned around and said, you're Catholic, give that tract back to me? No. He was excited. How does something like that take place? Because of people praying. So I want to encourage you to do those things. Now, mentally today, for many working people today, is this: do as little as possible and collect a check. It's true, some young people have no idea of what hard work actually is. they believe that they should be catered to. Rachel's sitting here this morning. I've known her since she's a young girl. And you're still young. She owns her own business. She's not being catered to. She's got to cater to people. That's good work ethic. If she expected people to cater to her, her business wouldn't survive. So her business is, okay, you want your hair done at 8 o'clock at night? Okay. If that's me, please say no. That's late. But the work ethic has gone down. If you're with me this morning, please say amen. So what has happened? Those who actually do the work will have to work harder to get the job done, which is why we are constantly recruiting to make the job easier. All the while, the new hire will go out of their way to do as little as possible. That's our work ethic today. Paul here is still encouraging Timothy because he knew it would take strength to fulfill the call of God on his life. There are many discouragements that come along in any ministry. And when that happens, quitting sounds better rather than to continue on. I talk to a good group of preachers now. And as I talk to them, you know what I hear on almost every Monday, sometimes Tuesdays? I just want to quit. You know what I have to do? I have to be a Paul in this situation and encourage so that they keep going on. Why? Because we need good, sound men in pulpits. It's easy to quit. It truly is. But it takes strength to continue on. So there's many discouragements that come along. Paul knew Timothy. We can't forget that Timothy was naturally timid. Go back to chapter number 1, we'll see those things. He was at times a nervous and possibly scared individual. It's quite intimidating, I'm going to be honest with you, it's quite intimidating to preach and teach to those who are older and to those who have more knowledge and wisdom. You have no idea what went through my mind as our pastor sat up here every week. It's intimidating. And you come to a place of, man, I don't really know nothing compared to what he knows. Why am I even doing this? And when that thought process kicks in, you're like, well, there's no point in this. I'm just going to walk away. And I'm going to be honest with you. There are many times that that ran through my mind. But the great thing about my father was he never discouraged me. He always encouraged me. And he knew me as a son. He knew how I felt. He can tell by my reaction on some things. And I appreciate his encouragement. I also appreciate towards the end of his life, hey, come here. Let me tell you something. And I was like, what, Godfather? Because that's what always came to my mind when I heard his voice like that. But anyway. Now, let's continue to go on. Some good advice for us all to follow. Just because you are older and maybe more knowledgeable in some areas doesn't mean that you are more qualified. Instead of boasting in yourself and being so impressed with yourself, get off your high horse and go and be a help and be an encouragement. That's what we need to do. But our ego, our pride overtakes our ability to be able to think for the other individual. And we begin to boast and become so proud of ourselves and what we have accomplished and the knowledge that we've learned. And we don't become an encouragement to those who need it. Instead, we become a discouragement. We need to be encouragement to folks. Paul is wanting Timothy to be strong in God's grace. His grace is an unmerited gift of assistance that comes from God. Paul knew of the grace of God, and he talks about that in 2 Corinthians. Go ahead and turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. I'm excited in the next hour, and I hope you will be too. Because I know there's some great difficulty for some people to turn to these things rather quickly. But during the next hour, I'm going to have basically a PowerPoint up here further verses for you to turn to, and you can just read right along with those things. But chapter number 12 of 2 Corinthians, verses 9 through 10 says this. I was just there, folks, and I just turned my Bible back to 2 Timothy. Here we go, 9 through 10, it reads this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness most gladly. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. How was Paul able to finish this verse? Because of the grace that God gives him to get through every situation. And we all need those things. That really hit home with me a couple of years ago when I heard somebody say this in a prayer meeting. I've never heard it like this before. And it was your wife, Charlie. She said this, Lord, please give us the grace to get through. That's exactly what Paul's talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 through 10. God gave Paul the grace to get through. God's grace does a few things for us. We're closing here shortly. Gives us confidence. And it's one of the biggest things that I struggle with today is confidence. With a lack of confidence comes doubt. And Satan uses that again for a distraction, especially when it comes to the preaching of God's word. We shouldn't have confidence in man. Why? Because man will fail us. Man fails us every single time. Our confidence should be in God. Instead, we need to trust in the Lord. And here are some wise words from David back in Psalms chapter 118. Go ahead and turn there. Psalms 118, verse number 8 says this. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put, what? Confidence in man. But that's what we do. Every 4 years, what do? We try to put confidence in a man to lead us out of a situation into something better. Well, what happens? Man fails us every 4 years. Where does our confidence need to be? It needs to be in God. By the way, let me say this. God sets up leaders and God removes leaders. It's in Scripture. Well, some might say, well, Trump was one of the better presidents. Okay, God put him in. God removed him. God gave us a leader in our country that we deserve. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. We might not agree with him, but for some reason, God says, this is the guy you deserve. And so we have them. But our confidence comes, should be in the Lord. Second, God's grace will give us boldness. Paul wasn't bold by himself. He was not bold by himself. But his boldness came from the Lord. Many of us are like Timothy. We're scared and we're timid. Those of you who went out yesterday, and be honest, who was scared and who was timid to knock on doors? Got some honest ones. It's scary. That's when I begin to fumble over my words quite a bit. I'll knock on the door and I'm like, bleh, 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 bleh. I can't get nothing out because it's intimidating. I know some of you might laugh at that, but it truly is. So how do we overcome that? By getting boldness from the Lord. But even though we are scared and timid, at times, we still need to continue to be strong in the Lord and to continue to press forward. Amen? Paul wanted Timothy to also commit to faithful men, as we read here in 2 Timothy. Paul wanted Timothy to pour into other men as well who were faithful to God. I'm going to say this. A pastor cannot pour himself into individuals when they are not faithful. You can't take offense to that. Because it is. It's hard to pour yourself into somebody when they're not faithful. Neil's owned his own business for years. Gary owns his own business as well. It's hard to invest into your employees, correct me if I'm wrong, if they're not going to be faithful to you. It's hard to pour yourself. It's hard to show them the knowledge that you have in that occupation when they're not going to be faithful. What do you mean? What normally happens, Gary, when a co-worker of yours that you're hired is no longer faithful to the company? You didn't hear it, and he didn't really say it, but this is what he said. I'm making it easier. He fires him. I say this for a reason. It's hard to pour yourself. It's hard to invest yourself into folks who are not faithful. It's your choice not to get involved. God didn't save you to sit at home or to go hide somewhere. He saved you. The least that we can do is this. Get involved. Get involved. Timothy was a man who was naturally an introvert. It would have been more natural for him to stay at home, not worry about anything else, but just reveling in the fact that he was saved, he was going to go to heaven when he died. But Timothy, instead of putting confidence in man, he put his confidence in the Lord. He was faithful to God. He got involved, and he had a great ministry. We know that nothing lasts forever. And here's what I want to close with. We need to prepare the next generation to move forward after we are all gone. Dallas is sitting here this morning, my teenage teacher. He was my teacher in my teenage years. He helped mold me. He poured himself into me. Why? Because Dallas knew, and I know even now in my age, we are not going to last forever. And we got to encourage the next generation to go forth. If we don't do that, what's going to happen to the gospel? Well, the great thing is, Jesus will still be around. The gospel will continue to go forth. But I'm going to deal with this here in the next hour. We need laborers. We need laborers. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Lord, we thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for your word. We thank you for Paul's encouragement to Timothy to be strong, to endure the hardships that come his way. And Lord, I thank you for your people who are here this morning. And we ask it in your name. Amen.